Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts. And while you're there, please share those on social media. We're dealing with the same social media censorship that everyone else is. Thousands of articles and podcasts up at AmericaOutLoud.com. So if you have not done so already, we appreciate if you go and check that out. Rob and I are really excited about the show tonight. We're going to have on ordained minister Cynthia Garrett of Cynthia Garrett Ministries is going to be coming on to talk to us about how you deal with the current culture and politics and what we're seeing in the world today and the spirituality and how they intertwine with each other. I'm really excited for the show tonight. But first off, how are you doing, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing great. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, and I would definitely encourage them to share this broadcast with their family, friends, and people who aren't your family and friends. Share it on social media, because there's a lot that's happening in our society today. I would say within the last eight or so years, our society has just taken a complete shift. And over the past year, a complete culture shift. You would not recognize our society if you've been sleeping. And I think that a lot of people have been sleeping. And I myself even try to reconcile with what has happened over these past couple of years compared to where we are and where we were. And you look around you and the things that are being thrown at us. And I think that any Christian, you would look at this and say, oh my gosh, is this a sign of the times? Is this what the prophet Daniel has spoken about and so many other prophets in the Bible? That we would get to this point and we would look around us and question what exactly is happening. We have the guy at the top, whom I like to refer to as Resident Biden, not the president, but the resident. Some of the things that he's pushing down and some of the things that he's saying and his party and this whole thing with wokeism. And the other day we learned that the person he's getting ready to or that he nominated for the Supreme Court can't even define what a woman is. Now think about that. He selected her because she is a woman, a Black woman. But when the question was put to her as to define a woman, I don't even want to say she stumbled, but she reluctantly said, I can't define it. I'm not a biologist. You don't have to be a biologist to know that if you have two X chromosomes, you are a woman. But she struggled with it, or she chose not to answer it. And then you have, on the school level, educational level rather, with the NCAA, a man swimming and saying that he is a female. And they were allowing him to swim. And if you say anything about it, you'll get canceled. Now just imagine all these girls who've worked all these years trying to get to that moment, that one moment in time to compete, only to know that no matter what you do, when you get ready to compete, you're going to lose because there's someone else who's going to win who's pretending to be a woman. No, God bless the transgender community. I love everyone, but I think this is wrong. And if you say anything about it, like I said, well, they will cut you off. You look at our schools. They've taken prayer out of schools. And then the attack on individuals that are religious, Christians, it's unseemly. You can't say anything about your faith. And I spoke about Ketanji Brown Jackson. When the question was put to her about her faith to talk about it, she said, I'm not comfortable. Now, what did the Bible say about denying God and not being wanting to talk about him? And what he would do to you if you denied him. But this is where we are. And then you have Christians who love talking about the love of Christ, and they are strong in their faith. But at times I've heard Christians who say, oh my gosh, what's happening? They themselves have been or feel themselves being weak because there's so many things that are pushed against them. And if you're not rooted and grounded in the Bible, you will fall. And I think of a passage in the Bible, a scripture that I want to read. And it's in the book of Joshua. And it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'm not sure many people would say that, especially when you're up against someone who wants to tear you down. Are you rooted and grounded in your faith that you're willing to stand up for Christ and willing to say, "This is a person I serve. I know in whom I believe"? Because I got to tell you, when you walk out there, the daggers are there and they're looking to tear you down. But the Bible also tells us to fret not thyself because of evildoers. But how can you not waver? So tonight we have on with us, as Andrew said, a woman whom I follow on social media. We met about a year ago on social media. We've never met face to face, but just through text and whatnot. And she's come on our show before. She's always gracious to commit time to us to come on and to talk to us. And I really appreciate that because she has a very busy schedule. She's always out there. But when she's speaking, you can feel the love and the faith that she has in her Christian beliefs. Cynthia Garrett of Cynthia Garrett Ministries. She's on tonight. Cynthia, how are you?
Gosh, I'm fine, Rob. Thank you for that introduction. I do love people and I love my God. And it's so hard to reconcile where things are today, absent an understanding of who God is. So I'm always happy to be with you and Andrew. And I'm so grateful that you guys, you look at the issues and you look at the world and that you care to even understand. Well, as I said before we started, what would Jesus do? You know, what would he do?
Exactly. Right? What would he do? Right. And I ask myself that all the time when I'm up against something and I'm like, I want to snap back. I'm like, but what would Jesus do? I know what Rob would do. Rob wants to just tell him off and go, "Hey, I'm going to put you in your place." But yeah, is that what God would do?
Well, I'll tell you this much. First of all, I got to say a couple of things. I do believe that God in our current, you know, modern day society has been watered down in a lot of ways, so that if you say that you do believe in him, you've turned him into a God who does not require repentance or transformation. And so I think that that is convenient because it gives a lot of people a pass to essentially do what they want to do, you know. Do what you want to do, do what thou wilt was a slogan from Aleister Crowley and Satanism. So it's not about doing what you want to do. It's about really and truly understanding why God created us, what he created us to be and to do, and how he created us to love him first above all things, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, when I really and truly think about what's going on in the world today, Rob, I'm challenged every time I'm asked to be on a show like yours, or like, you know, I appear regularly on Fox News with Laura Ingraham, and I'm always prayerfully asking the Lord, okay, how do I speak into these issues, these political issues, these deeply sinful issues, a lot of them, from a standpoint of faith and love of my neighbor and truth. Because I don't believe that we serve a weak God. I believe that Jesus was a radical, strong, powerful, you know, man God who's conveniently watered down because it makes room for people to live and do what they want to do. And so I think that, you know, a lot of people often say, oh, there's too many rules in Christianity. Well, I don't think Christianity is filled with rules. I think Christianity is filled with truth. And the truth is, if you live a certain way and you seek to do what Jesus would do, the world would be a better place. Your life would be better. Your home would be better. Our communities would be better. Our nation would be better. Instead, we have a lot of people who hold the name of God in unrighteousness. And I don't think that you can live double-minded in that way. In fact, the Bible says, woe to the man who holds the name of the Lord in unrighteousness. And I see a lot of that in the church and out of the church. And I'm nothing if I'm not bold about the truth. And I love what you said about owning God before man. You know, Jesus said, if you profess me before man, I will profess you before my Father in heaven. I'm interested in, you know, my name being spoken before God in heaven. I really could care less about esteem with man anymore. And I think that's part of the problem.
Two things that you mentioned, a watered down God. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about that? And before you do, something that stayed with me when you appeared on our show last, you said that people are always looking for a direction. What do I do? How do I live this life? And you said that read the Bible is a blueprint of your life, and it would guide you and show you what you need to do. So if we were doing that, we would know that God has all this power. He's omnipotent.
Yeah.
And we can't water him down. But yet and still, we do. Or we allow people to do it. And we fall for it. Why is that? I know that man is weak, but he's strong.
Right.
He's powerful. But so why do we allow that to happen?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons we allow it to happen is because we're seeking to live for ourselves. You know, the Bible says, you know, you have to be born again, right? Born of the Spirit. Well, when you're born of the Spirit and you become a follower of Jesus Christ, it means that the old man has died and the new man has come forth. What does that really mean? It means that the old man, the old you, with your fleshly lusts, your fleshly desires, oh, the way you used to like to curse, or the way you used to like to sleep around or do drugs, or like all that old stuff, it dies. And what happens when something dies is you lay there as a seed and you go and you're open. And what you're open to spiritually is being watered by Christ. You become born again in Christ. And then the Bible says, be ye continually transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. So now this new creation begins to pour the word of God on itself, and you begin to grow and blossom in the way that God originally intended for you to grow and blossom. And one of my favorite things in the Bible and is found in 1 Timothy 3. And you sort of say, you know, it's like there's this appearance of God, right? But, you know, but what's really going on here? And I really wanted to find it for you because I think it would give you such a beautiful understanding of what it means when essentially, and I'm going to find this before we get up, when essentially Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, right? And he's saying to Timothy, and I'm sorry, it's 2 Timothy 3. And he's saying to Timothy, hey, like, you know, mark this, right? Pay attention to this is what he's saying biblically. In the last days, it's going to be terrible. Why? And he goes on to say, because people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, prideful, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without any self-control, violent, not lovers of what's good, treacherous, rash, conceited, vain, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And that is really a mouthful. Men will be, in the last days, people are going to love themselves more than they love God. They're going to love pleasure more than they love God. And what's going to make it really a trip is that they're going to have a form of godliness. They're going to seem spiritual. They're going to seem godly, but they're really denying the power of the real God. They're really not filled with the spirit and the power of God. They just have this outward appearance of God. And you know how you know it? You know it when you look at the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit has everything to do with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, hope, self-control, right? So like you start to look at this and you realize our culture is exactly filled with the kind of people and the kind of deceit that Paul warned Timothy right. was occurring in those days. And we can test everything by looking for the spirit of God. And you don't see it. Let's look at cancel culture. Do you see forgiveness in cancel culture? Do you see love, peace, patience? Are we patient with someone who's made a mistake to allow them to explain what they were thinking or to repent and apologize for what they did maybe 20, 30 years ago? No, we just want to destroy them, erase them, and get rid of them. What is that rooted in? There's such pride in that. There's slavery and oppression in that. There's everything that is anti-God in that. And so the whole game is deception. How do we keep these people who really don't read their Bibles at all, or if they profess to be Christian, they don't read it enough? So there's this lack of knowledge and wisdom about truth. And I think the whole game is, how do we continue to hide the truth? And it's disguised.
That was a lot. That was a mouthful. And you, that scripture was 1 Timothy 2?
2 Timothy chapter 3.
2 Timothy. Okay, 2 chapter 3. Now, that was a lot. You said a lot and you hit the nail with the hammer, because we see that happening in today's society with the cancel culture. I don't like what you're saying. Let's cancel you. And people take pride in it, regardless of the fact that that cancellation cause a person to lose their job. They can't support themselves or their families. It's like, we don't care. Unless you bend the knee to us and agree with what we're saying, we don't want you. We don't want you here. And that's it. So, and as Christians, as you said, you have to think like, oh, what do I do? What do I say? Do I stand up for what's right? Knowing what's right, because in the end, we're going to win. That there's going to be a little pain there. But do we stand up? And then something that you mentioned, and I felt kind of bad, and I'm gonna watch my mouth here when you're talking about cursing. I'm like, oh, Rob, don't say that.
We all have that issue.
I'm not perfect. You know, I'm still being molded, you know, I'm still in the fire, and eventually I hope to come forth as pure gold. But I'm sure Andrew can tell you that sometimes, you know, I go there.
Me too, honey.
You know, but there's salvation and there's redemption. Like you said, God is willing to forgive us, although we aren't always willing to forgive each other. We want to point our finger, and as the Bible says, take the beam out of your eye. But a lot of times we can't. Because we're so, not that we can't, we don't want to, because we feel that pointing the finger makes us feel good. It sets us apart and we feel better that, hey, I caught you, you did this and you're the bad person and I am the good person, as opposed to realizing that we're all just sinners. We are all sinners.
We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners in need of a savior. And Jesus Christ's whole gig on planet Earth was about forgiveness. And forgiveness does not mean that the person who harmed you, you know, a lot of people, they can't forgive. And I always say, well, it's because you have a mistaken notion of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not mean that, you know, the person that did something wrong to you is right. It doesn't mean that they're worthy of not being judged. And it does not mean that, you know, life is a Disney movie and you're going to forgive each other and you're going to live happily ever after. No, a lot of times, you know, you may forgive someone for something or a situation or an event or a group of people or something like slavery. You may forgive and you may not even get back, you know, a request for forgiveness in return. It's not about that, though. It's about recognizing that we all have something that we need forgiveness for every day. And honey, I got to tell you, I am not real big on judgment of anybody. I'm not, because I am so busy dealing with myself and my own issues and my own stuff that I need forgiveness for every day that I don't have a lot of time to focus on, you know, on the log in somebody else's eye or the speck in someone else's eye. You know what I mean? I really don't. And I wish that more people really lived that way, because it is possible to tell the truth and be bold and not, you know, and not judge. And I mean, you know, every day, you know, you talk about sort of, I guess, being canceled, you know, all the social media cancellations and social circle cancellations, people who no longer invite you or include you because all of a sudden they realize that, you know, you're a conservative. I got to tell you, I a lot of my Hollywood friends were more okay with me being a Christian who loved them and didn't judge than with my Christianity aligning with my politics and me becoming a conservative.
Really?
And yes. And my position as a conservative on conservative issues was really where they found the rub. You know, when I started saying things like, you know, Joe Biden can't be the poster child for healing racism. He's a racist. He started out a racist, and Democratic policies are racist, whether they want to admit it or not, they are. And until, you know, and I really believe that, you know, if you're a person of color and you're not quite sure that what you're hearing out of my mouth is true, go register as an independent and thoroughly investigate both sides of everything. Like, seriously, right? Like, do yourself a favor, because we are getting, you know, I listen to a lot of the crazy liberal stuff going on in our schools and, you know, sort of being fed to us. And it's sort of like, oh, we're on your side, Black people. And we, you know, we feel in Minnesota, for example, we should give Black teachers more money if they'll go and just teach in those Black schools and mentor each other, because they really want to be together and they want to support each other. And they're, and this coming out of the mouths of white people at school board meetings in Minnesota, this was a couple of months ago. And I was sitting there listening to this thinking, oh my goodness, you know, what about the poor little Ruby Bridges and her, you know, going to school, going to school with federal marshals so that she could integrate schools. And now we're sitting here all these years later, listening to a Republican school board basically disguise segregation. I mean, and then have Black people so deceived by it. They're going, yes, master, we want to go right ahead and be segregated again. Are we that weak? No, we are not that weak as a people. And I don't have any problems calling, you know, BS on all of this. I really don't.
And we have to, like you said, but how do you, because I think about even me myself, you know, a lot of people will assume that, oh, you know, he lives in New York City, so he has to be a liberal. And I have to admit, my family, liberal. But what was interesting is that their views were conservative. They didn't realize it, but because that was what they were taught, Democrats, liberal, that, oh, we're Democrats. So me living in New York, and when they find out that, wow, you're a conservative, why are you living in New York? That can't be. It's like they start looking at me differently. Oh, you can't say this around him, and you can't that. Well, we're not going to invite him to this or that. I'm like, I am the same person that I have always been. I might not like what you're doing, but that doesn't mean I'm going to dislike you. Although I must admit, I struggle sometimes. I do struggle with it. But like you said, we all do. But I'm just as caring as the next person. But some of the things that you do, I just don't buy into it. And as you said, it's wrong. I am not going to say that Joe Biden is the healer and he's going to do this. When you look at his past, as some of the things that he has done, and people choose to, well, we're going to overlook it because what? Because he's a Democrat. Like, no, you can't do that. It has to be called out.
Yeah, even from my experience growing up in a white family, the thing that I was always told growing up was, unless if you're rich, you vote for Democrats. If you're a rich person, you vote Republican. But if you're a blue collar worker, you vote for Democrats. And what we're seeing play out with Joe Biden right now is that clearly couldn't be further from the truth, because Joe Biden has been hurting blue collar Americans more than any president in recent history.
And you look at the shift that has taken place, you look at the left now, and a lot of people would say that they are the elitist. And I made the comment once before in one of our shows. I said that during the 2008 election, when it was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, that one of the commentators on MSNBC made the comment that Barack Obama's supporters get their coffee from Starbucks, you know, an elitist hoity-toity, whereas Hillary Clinton supporters get their coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. And he made no qualms of saying it, just said it, and people just accepted it. Fast forward to today, the Democrats was known to be the party of the people. But now there are so many people that are there that are elitists, and they want to tell us what to do. And you look at the Republican Party and you have the hardworking individuals. To me personally, I think that both of the parties have their pluses and their minuses. But the way it has gotten now along those lines, that you can see the difference is so clear. And then when you bring Christianity into it, you step back and go, oh my gosh, what happened? We blinked our eyes, as I said once on one of our shows, and the world just changed right before us, Cynthia.
Yeah. I remember the night that it started to change. It was the night of the election, when Donald Trump took the lead, and I was watching CNN, and I literally was watching Wolf Blitzer and the guys, they were melting down on camera. It was like visible toxic nuclear fallout. And they were stuttering. It was almost like a demon who thought his position was so comfortable that all of a sudden something happened, and like something happened that it thought, well, I'm above this. This will never happen to me. I've got the platform forever. And all of a sudden something got unseated, and that demon chest was exposed, and it manifests all over the place. And for those of you listening and you think that sounds crazy, man, I got to tell you, just go back and watch that night. It was really crazy. But I think it happened then, because what happened was, for the first time in my life, see, I grew up and you could always talk about politics with everyone. I mean, you know, you didn't have to agree, and nobody argued and fought over it. Everyone was a little bit more, you know, centrist, I think, on both sides, in both parties. But what happened was some far left liberal agenda that was slowly getting us someplace had a disruptor come in, and it went, and it just refused to let go of the agenda that was moving us like softly and slowly into the abyss of sin and into the abyss of being numb to things that are not godly. And so along comes Trump in that. And I really believe from day one, you know, the left and the left media started to rip this country to shreds. I think it's their fault. I think that the agenda of, you know, dividing us was clear, because it was, you know, Donald Trump is not a globalist. So you even had Republicans from the party like Colin Powell, whom I always loved and I could not believe at the end. You had Bush. You had even Republicans who are globalists shifting over to support overthrowing a man who was really just about the American people and patriotism and, you know, simpler things and simpler agendas. And he never went against any gay agenda. So I'm always shocked when my gay friends are like, Donald Trump hates us. He can't win. It'll be horrible for us. And I'm looking at them going, how? I mean, Peter Thiel is amazing. He spoke at his convention. Like, he's gay. He's a conservative. He's awesome. Like, there's no like agenda here. It's just conservative values and far left values all of a sudden met on the battlefield. And things like being anti-abortion, things like being pro-family, you know, and it wasn't, let's be pro-family. And so they went against, you know, gay marriage. It was never, it's not been any of that. It's don't come for my children with what you believe and then think that you as the government or the school system get to occupy a position in front of my household with my minor children, period. I'm mama bear. You come for my kids. I'm ripping your head off. I'm sorry. To me, that's what Jesus would do. Because even Jesus said, you know, it's going to be really bad for any one of you who ties a millstone around or who hurts one of these children, because it's better that you just tie like an anchor around your neck in the ocean. Okay, so there are responses that Christians need to have that are a lot more bold and a lot more in your face than a lot of us have been having. And it's just called wake up. Listen to what Paul was telling Timothy, realize the times that we're living in and pick up your cross and stop seeking to get invited to the Oscars was a few nights ago, right? Stop seeking to get invited to the red carpet parties. You know, I don't care. I've been a part of the Hollywood system forever since I was, 20, and I don't care. Hollywood is not my God. Jesus Christ is. And I vote according to what your party stands for. And if my boss, if a corporation, if someone that I want to be friends with, if any of that has a problem with that, oh well. And that's, I think, where Christians, we've got to really get to that place where we're like, oh well, not going to get that invite, not going to get that job, oh well. And oh well is rooted in faith. Oh well, God, you're going to have my back on this one again.
Yeah, well said. We are here with Cynthia Garrett, ordained minister. If you want to hear more about her fascinating story, check out her book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor by Cynthia Garrett. Be sure to head on over to Amazon or her website and check that out. You're tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew, special guest Cynthia Garrett.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients, like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with After Dark with Robin Andrew and a special guest, ordained minister Cynthia Garrett. We're glad to have her on the show tonight. And we're talking about our Christian faith and how Christians can thrive and survive in a secular world, a world that has changed so quickly within the blink of an eye. And there's so much that's been thrown at us. And what do we do? How do we keep going? And Cynthia read to us a scripture in 2 Timothy 3 that I thought was extremely powerful, how men would become lovers of men, and that we would take on this ungodly form and looking to please ourselves as opposed to pleasing God. And so many times we see that front and center in our lives, in our schools, our jobs, even in politics. Just recently, as I said, we spoke about the nominee that Biden put forth, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who stumbled in describing or giving the definition of a woman. She was shy about speaking about her faith. We as Christians, is that who we want to be? Now, I know that it's the popular thing right now. And as Cynthia mentioned, she's well-connected in Hollywood. And many of her friends were taken aback when they realized that she's conservative. No, she's a Christian. Well, okay, we can probably deal with that. But a conservative? And I've said the same thing about myself. I mean, I still love my friends. But when they found out, or when they find out that, oh, he has a C behind his name, we got to keep an eye on him. Do we want him here? Well, I'm not going to miss the invitations. I'm not going to miss your parties. I've got other things to do. But as a Christian living in the world today, with everything that's happening, that's taking place, it can be challenging trying to navigate through it all. But we cannot give up on our faith. We cannot give up on our God. We cannot forget who we are, who made us. We cannot forget who we're trying to please, not man, not ourselves, but our Creator, our God. We're striving for that crown that he will give us, the righteous judge will give us on that day. But until then, we're living here amongst all the stuff that's taken place. So a question that I have for Cynthia that I'm sure many people are wondering is, how do you do it? How do you live that Christian life? How do you be true to yourself? Now, I can see it, but as I mentioned, there's so many things that are thrown our way. And it's as if though they want you to decide, which side are you on? Are you okay with this? Are you okay with that? And if you don't like this, then maybe we shouldn't like you. Or as we mentioned in the last half hour, we're going to cancel you. So how do you live this life? What do you do to stay strong in Jesus? Cynthia.
As I got enthralled with what you were saying. I'm sorry, Rob, I zoned. I was
no
like,
worries.
I was saying, I know for me, the way that I do it goes back to, you know, what you said at the top of this half. And when you referenced, you know, Paul telling Timothy, look, and you know, in the last days, men are going to be lovers of themselves, you know, lovers of pleasure, not God. You know, they're going to look godly, but they're going to reject the real power of God. And because they reject the truth, because what does it mean to really be a lover of yourself? It means that, you know, when you love yourself, your agenda has to be first. When you love yourself, you're very selfish and vain. You're egotistical. You don't really care about loving a neighbor. You don't care about their problems. When you love yourself, self-promotion and self-advancement is the only goal that you have. So you will say anything to achieve that. And if you're running for public office, you'll tell any lie. You'll stoop to any low. There's nothing you won't do. So the way that I do this, honestly, is to love not my life, even unto death. And that's biblical. That's what Jesus did in order to achieve his mission on earth. And I have to tell you, the one thing I never feel compromised or ashamed of the truth that I know to be true. It helps me to love people, even though I can boldly say, hey, this is wrong. You know, I mean, the emperor is naked on most days in our nation right now. I mean, you and I both know that. You look at what's being forced down our throats as correct. And if you say something, you're either a racist or you're anti-LGBTQ and you're hateful and you're this and you're that. And it's all just, it's lies, you know, it's lies. And so for me, you know, especially speaking to Christians, what I often say to Christians is, you know, consider 2 Chronicles, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I think it is, you know, and it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear them from heaven and I'll heal their land. And so for me, what I want to do with my voice is issue a call to God's people to just repent on behalf of the sin of our nation. And also, what did we do wrong when Trump was in office? Because, and I say it that way, because I think a lot of Christians really felt, and I do know this is true, Donald Trump was very, you know, he was very supportive of us as believers and as Christians. And man, it was like a breath of fresh air. Like, we don't want to hate on everybody. Just don't hate on us, A. And don't, you know, don't tell me, you know, that I have to sit there and say that this biological man is a woman. I mean, I can respect your boundaries and call you by whatever name you might want, but don't ask me to turn off my brain. You know, a wonderful rabbi that I met in Miami 1 year said something powerful to me. And he said, you know, look, as people of faith, we have to be open. We live with our hearts open. And he said, but Cynthia, don't be so open. Your brains fall out of your head. And you know what? My brains are still firmly in place in my head.
That was a good one.
It's, you know what I mean? It's true. And right. You mentioned Leah Thomas at the top. I've been really heartbroken about this. And for anybody within the sound of my voice, you need to pick up Irreversible Damage by a co-author, publishing company I'm with. And I'm so proud that they have stood behind her work, because this book is such a powerful, powerful explanation, intelligently and from a place of love and non-judgment, about what the transgender movement is doing to our young women. Title IX was created to protect us girls in sports, and the twisting of it for men to insert themselves once again in girls' sports in a different way is so manipulative. It's a lie. It's not right. It's damaging. Do you know what it feels like to me as a woman who bled, you know, monthly, you know, like, you have your period, you have to give birth, you have all of these things that make you up as a woman. And for men to come along and say that a man can be voted Woman of the Year is such a slap in my face. And it's such a slap in the face of every great woman that's come before me in my bloodline or out of my bloodline, that I just don't even know what to do about it. And when I stood there, you know, or when I watched the NCAA championships, and I look, my niece, one of my favorite nieces, Elise, went to UCLA. She was a very high level pole vaulter. It is known in sports that men can pole vault 4 or 5 inches further than women. So the best male will always be 4 to 5 inches in front of the best female. It's just because we're weaker physically. We're different physically. Now, when I use the word weak, it's about a strength thing. It has nothing to do with weak, because the men that I know and love, including my beloved son, whom I would die for, they can't have no babies, honey. They're not strong enough for all of that. That's us. Okay. So that said, I'm outraged that this lie is being pulled in front of these girls, and Penn won't even let these girls speak up. They won't let them say anything. I've read, you know, comments off the record from a lot of these girls. They're devastated. They can't beat a man in their sport. He broke records, swimming records in a female sport that no female can ever get close to or touch. By the way, it's just like a woman who's using steroids. And I'm not even going to get into the couple of famous names we know of women who use steroids. It was proven later in track and field events, whose times no one can get close to because they aren't real times. So this guy's times are not real. And I think that for Leah Thompson and I, who competed as a man in the same university for a couple of years, a mediocre man, I think from his standpoint, and I don't know how he would think about it from his standpoint or from her standpoint, because he's really got to, there's something deep to that statement. Where's the empathy for these women? By the way, from what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he still dates women and sleeps with women. So yes. Now how am I supposed to feel as a woman in a locker room with a man walking around? I mean, whether or not he still has his male parts, he does, but I don't think it makes that big a difference if he didn't. What are you saying? What are you telling us as women? That we're still less than men, no matter how good we are on our best day in any way? What are you saying to us? Feminists need to wake up. Feminists, whose agenda was so twisted anyway, they're in a corner. And you notice they're kind of silent. I think because their lack of reason for their position anyway now has them in a corner that they've been painted into by this issue. And it is time to get real about this. It's not right. And go and create a transgender category. Go for it. Like, do that. Why aren't they doing that? Where's the trailblazer doing that? Why are you trying to go into a sport that you're biologically not the same sex as the other people in that sport, and then stand on pedestals? And then this one professor from Duke who said we should be celebrating Leah Thompson the way we celebrated, oh my goodness, Jackie Robinson. It's a good thing. Well,
unbelievable.
I am a woman of God, but it's a good thing I wasn't in that woman's office because I had punched her in her face. That was so offensive. Jackie Robinson, nor Cynthia Garrett, nor you, Rob Harper, will ever wake up and be able to change the fact that you're Black. And that has nothing to do with the sexual choice.
Right. Exactly. Or the two X chromosomes. And what you're saying is so true. We had on our show not too long ago, the author who, a journalist at the Washington Examiner, Chris Shermogli, who went to school or was in a class with William Thomas at the time before he decided to become Leah. And he's done numerous articles on it. And you're right. Leah does still date women. And we're not certain if he's had his male parts removed. We think that they're still intact, but that's beside the point. Title IX. And just think about it. Ketanji Brown Jackson, there's a possibility that could come before her to interpret. And because she's saying she can't define what a woman is, how is she going to decide that? A Title IX. Is she going to say, no, let all these people get in? And I agree with you. Why is it they can't have a separate lane for transgenders? There's nothing wrong with that because clearly they have an advantage over women. And where are the feminists? So and this is what we as Christians, these are the things that we're dealing with. And a lot of people will back down. They won't say anything because they want to get along. They're afraid to speak up. But as Christians, we can't be afraid. We can't say right is wrong and wrong is right. We can't do it. We have to stake our position and say, this is who we believe. This is where we are. That's it. And we can't be afraid. But in society today, they want to shut you down and they don't want you to say anything. And it's unfortunate, Cynthia, that a lot of the churches are supporting this. And me, coming from a Black church, a Pentecostal church, I see some of the teachings that are there that will brush right over it. They don't want to say anything because they're afraid that the tithes and offering won't be what they should be. So they just choose to be quiet. You look at the singer not too long ago, I was about to say her name, how they shut her down because she spoke out on it, on transgender. Oh gosh, I almost said her name. I can't think of her name, but the fact that they tried to shut her down is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's what they did because she spoke out against it.
Yeah. I pray that more singers, more actresses, more people with platforms and voices will speak out against it because it has nothing to do with not loving people. Look, I have relatives, you know, my favorite nephew who's gay. I have many friends who are gay, but I'm not going to change who I am for them. And I don't expect them to change who they are for me. I changed because Jesus Christ encountered my life. I pray that they'll change, whatever their changes are supposed to be, because Jesus Christ encounters their life. But when it comes to truth, we all kind of walk in truth. And the real truth is that you can't, sin is sin. And they know the areas where I think, okay, this is sin. And it's not like my focus is hyper-focused on the LGBTQ set of sins. For Pete's sake, Christians have their own sins. You know, churches, these woke churches and blue churches who are exalting their brokenness and their pain and anger so high above the word of God that they're supporting movements that are Marxist, that are anti-family, that are pro-abortion, they need to wake up. Because no matter what I've ever dealt with in my life, and I've dealt with racism and genderism and all of it, you know, I'm a Black female, but the reality is, you know, my love of God has to be on the throne in my life. I'm a Christian. The word of God in the Bible is what I live by. And if my pain or my anger becomes an issue that supplants and takes the place of God's word in my life, something's off. Something is off. And a lot of these churches are off because you have a lot of pastors of color who are leading from their place of brokenness, from their place of feeling marginalized or not treated the same way because of the color of their skin or whatever their life experience was, because we've all had these varied life experiences. And I get it, but that's what inner healing is for. We have one weapon. You know, it's what my whole next book is about, but we have one weapon, and that weapon is the word of God. That weapon is Jesus Christ. That weapon is really and truly believing that the truth will set you free. And if we want to set this nation free from bondage, those of us who know this, who really believe this, have to stop being afraid, because God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, Bible. If those of us who know this don't speak up, who will? And if you ask me, I'm gonna speak up. And I love all people, you know, I love all people, and I feel for all people, and I want all people to, look, Rob, everyone wants love. They want family. They want the dignity of a life where they feel they can, I guess, honestly be wherever they are on a certain day. And there's a lot of days where in my pursuit of that, where I was on a certain day was just in the wrong place. You know, or I was a few years from learning something that made me change certain things about my life or my behavior. Everybody's on a journey. We're a work in progress till the day we die. And that's why you can't judge. You know, who's to say that the biggest quote unquote sinner in your eyes today won't be the greatest Christian tomorrow or in 10 right. years or 20 years? We don't know, but we do know that the truth is the truth. And when we need to stand up for the truth spoken in love, And we need to look at who's really behind these agendas. You know, men heavily were the big advocates of abortion, and you know, and now this new issue, this LGBTQ issue. To me, I just look at it and I look at the perversions of man, and I think, wow. For in the last days, man, men will be lovers of themselves so much that they just reject any of God's power. And it says, stay away from people like this. You know, there is spiritual warfare here. Our fight isn't against humans who are caught up in whatever they're caught up in. Our fight is against demons, powers, principalities. So the war that we have to fight as believers is in the spirit. There are many times where, I mean, I come from a long line of sharp-tongued women, and I can send a person to hell so nicely, they'll be asking me to buy them a ticket and escort them there. I mean, really. So I really submit myself to God on a lot of these issues. And I go in the room and I go to war in the spirit. God, come against what I see on this person, help them, bless them. But you help me not to be angry with them. Help me to walk in forgiveness. Like, you got to go to war in the spirit. And that's what that whole passage of Ephesians is really saying. Put on the armor of God. put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Which covers your heart. You know, the armor of God is what, you know, it's like Paul loves Roman soldiers. So you dress yourself up in your armor every day before you leave your house, the helmet of salvation. Your salvation and your belief in Jesus Christ protects your mind. The helmet protects your head, your brain, you know, the sword of the spirit. That's the word of God. That's your sword. That's what you wield at things. So, you know, you start speaking some scripture out loud every now and then when one of your family members is coming against you. And I promise you'll take control of the atmosphere, you know. And we've got to get real adept at taking control of the atmosphere, because I don't think rock star pastors with big mega churches who are living in compromise because they want butts and seats is the way that right. that things are today. It ain't going that way for much longer. We're not there. We're not there. Young people see through it, man. We got a generation to win. You know, Rob, that's why I love that you guys are young and you're speaking your truth. Thank God for you. We have a generation to reach. And that generation is the most unchurched generation in history. And they are the least desirous of relationship and monogamy in history. We got to go get them.
Absolutely. Well said, Cynthia. If you want to check out Cynthia's book, head on over to cynthiagarrett.org. Her last name spelled G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And her book is called I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. You guys definitely want to be sure to check that out. We appreciate Cynthia coming on and giving us her time. We love having her on, like always. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to America Out Loud. We'll see you guys next time, and remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.